the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Coke.
Here.
Colosimo.
Present.
Oshuski.
Here.
Frieders.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Chirulis.
Here.
Teeling.
Here.
A quorum is established.
Any amendments to tonight's agenda? No presentations. We do have a public hearing on a Comcast cable franchise agreement. So we will go into public hearing for ADM 2017-22. Is there anyone in the public who would like to comment on a Comcast cable franchise agreement? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing. Do we have any citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Colosimo.
Nay.
Milshewski.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Coke.
Aye.
Teeling.
Aye.
Motion passes.
I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular city council meeting of January 24th, 2017, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Do we have any comments, questions, or corrections on the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, moving on to the mayor's report. I do have a proclamation for the 50th anniversary of Obanzi Community College. And we do have President Sobeck and Lulu Blacksmith from Obanzi here. If you ladies would like to come forward while I read this proclamation. So in recognition of the 50th anniversary of Obanzi Community College, whereas the United City of Yorkville wishes to congratulate Obanzi Community College on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of its founding, and whereas Obanzi Community College, a two-year public institution of higher learning, was founded in August of 1966, when the electorate of 12 school districts and most of Canaan, portions of Kendall, DeKalb, LaSalle, and Will County voted to establish Community College District 516. And whereas from its early days, the philosophy of Obanzi Community College has been that education is a cornerstone of a literate, democratic society, that learning is a lifelong process, and that the pursuit of knowledge must be supported by institutional policies demonstrating accessibility, flexibility, and equality. And whereas Obanzi Community College has educated approximately 6,544 students from the United City of Yorkville. And whereas Obanzi Community College has a reputation as an innovator in the areas of accessibility, distance learning, and sustainability, as well as a history of bold initiatives and partnerships with the community, including the 2020 College Master Plan and Vision 2050. Now, therefore, I, Gary J. Glinski, Mayor of the United City of Yorkville, in recognition of the 50th anniversary of Obanzi Community College, I encourage and invite all residents of the United City of Yorkville and the residents of Obanzi College District 516 to join in celebration of this most distinguished occasion here this 28th day of February 2017.
Council. It's really an honor to be here this evening to accept this on behalf of our elected Board of Trustees, as well as faculty, staff, and students. As you heard in the proclamation, we were founded in 1966. The first board meeting occurred on August 22, 1966. And they came together and, in a very short order, hired the first president of Waubonsie Community College, Dr. Jim Nelson, who began in January of 1967. And an amazing part of our story is in that very short time between January and September, the beginning faculty were hired, the initial deans, and they managed to put together a broad array of programs and courses, figure out how to register everybody, how to get everybody to pay tuition. When you think about all of that that has to be created, it was an amazing short time. So in September of 1967, our first class of students enrolled, and more than 1,000 students enrolled. And I always think about what a leap of faith and how grateful we are to those initial students for choosing to be part of Waubonsie Community College. So here we are 50 years later, and 50 years sounds pretty young to me. 50 years later, very proud of all that we've accomplished over these many years. We've had wonderful partnerships with Yorkville throughout all of that time, and as you heard, about 6,500 students, residents of Yorkville, have taken advantage of our courses and programs. And we just went through our initiative, Vision 2050, that was reflected in this proclamation, that has really set us on a path for a bold future. So our theme for this year, in celebration of our 50th, is Proud Past, recognizing all of you and everybody who has come together to support us, and Bold Future, because we know our work has not stopped by any means. It must continue on so that we remain your community college, and we want to be vibrant and relevant and innovative and forward-thinking. So it's a pleasure to be here tonight. I really appreciate the opportunity. I see many faces. I see a former student there, right? I recognize people in the audience everywhere I go. You're like, how do you know me? I remember you. I don't know. You know, I've been at the college a long time, so it's great every time we go anywhere we see a family. Feel like family and friends at this point. So, again, thank you very much. Really appreciate the honor.
Absolutely.
Best of luck to all of you as well. Thank you.
Well, if Rob went to Waubonsie, they must be doing something right. He's been passed up to our city, there's no doubt about it. Okay, next, I will, let's see where we're at here. I'll entertain a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing the Sixth Amendment to the annual budget for the fiscal year commencing on May 1st, 2016 and ending on April 30th, 2017 for the cargo van purchase and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Comments, questions on this?
Quick question.
Yes, sir.
Then you're getting rid of the Astro Van?
Eventually, yes. And it's costing quite a bit to get fixed.
Between those and the clown cars that Terry likes to drive, I'm just not sure what we're going to do with our history.
Well, the van looks like clowns get free hugs out of it.
But it's white and
it's
not
a windowless white van.
I can't argue with you.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
In the recommendation, it does say that there will be additional analysis presented verbally. What would that have been?
Just to answer whatever questions the council may have.
Okay. What's the purpose of the van? Obviously, we have the existing van, but what's going to be the
The green van that we have that Joel was talking about is costing us $1,000 every time something goes wrong with it. And it's just not big enough as we've grown to handle inflatables and other things that we transport at all of our events. So, it's just time to replace that van, and with the state purchasing, this ends at the end of March, the state purchasing program for this type of vehicle, staff been trying to save money. I'll either purchase something like this and not have to go back to city council asking for additional requests.
And so the reason it's coming through now as an amendment as compared to waiting until the new budget is going to be passed is the fact that the state program is about to end, and we think that we have a better price with the current state programs than next year's.
Well, yes, we don't know if it'll get renewed or not, the state purchasing. And then also, we have it in our Parks and Recreation budget now. It's not a part of next year's budget. It's not in our capital. I mean, this is money that we have in our budget now that we've been able, a lot of our programs have been very successful, but we have the funds now to pay for this.
Any other comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Pelosina?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Wyszewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, moving on to Public Works Committee report. Now we'll turn it over to Alderman Funkhauser.
Okay. I've Kennedy Road shared use path. We have a motion to approve a crossing surface installation agreement between the United City of Yorkville and BNSF Railway Company with estimated cost of $300,000 to $400,000 and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Comments or questions?
The reason this one was not here is that there were some changes that the BNSF made regarding the contract. They went from a 100-page contract to a 3-page contract, so there were some review that needed to be done, and it's my understanding that legal has reviewed, and we are good with it, pending, obviously, the BNSF approval from their legal. So at this point, I still say we recommend approval.
Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
I'm sorry?
Aye.
Aye. Tarulis?
Nay.
Nay. Pelosima?
Nay.
Motion passes.
Okay, continuing on. We have an intergovernmental agreement for Kennedy Road resurfacing. A motion to approve a resolution approving an intergovernmental agreement between Kendall County, Bristol Township Road District, and the United City of Yorkville relating to the Galena Road Bridge Project and associated detour routes, Kennedy Road resurfacing, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Comments or questions?
If I could.
Go ahead.
This is a cooperative agreement between the county, obviously, and ourselves. The county approached the city about the detour. The county was able to realize several hundred thousand dollar savings by closing the bridge in its entirety as compared to doing a staged one lane closed and then the other side. With that detour route, they offered to provide us $160,000 for roadway improvements for the benefit of using it. So this is a very good cooperation between us. We are adding some additional monies to that in order to get a fully renovated 10-year lifespan road on Kennedy and a little further beyond. So this is a very much needed roadway improvement that has been languishing, but without the help of the county, we may or may not have been doing this to the same extent. But this is very good to have some free money coming in to help us fund this project.
Joel, do you have something?
Yeah, it says on the second page of the memo that they were going before the Kendall County Highway Committee and then full board on the 21st to go through, okay?
It did, yes.
I don't know if it's inappropriate of me to say this, but...
Probably.
Hell yeah! I love Kennedy Road! So I'm excited about this. So I thought this was lies. I thought that this was Chris Funkhauser doing something. But when you read about it, I know the detour is going to take a lot of people off, but I am so excited for this summer because Kennedy Road is horrible. It's kind of like Whispering Meadows, which this afternoon, Mr. Funkhauser and I were on the Kendall County GIS. Did you guys know that you can see the potholes from space?
Except we actually own Kennedy Road.
That's true, you do. But I live in Whispering Meadows.
And if I
could,
this project also coincides with the trail agreement that we did just a few minutes ago for the BNSF and the Kennedy Road Trail. These projects are all starting to fall in line for completion in 2018 and later possibly that year for everything to be finally completed. So 2018, we would expect roadway, and following that, the trail to be completed at some point soon after that. So some objectives for trails and roads are being realized.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say, as Alderman Funkhauser said, I'm excited about free money.
It's coming from somewhere. Whatever.
Roll call, please.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Pelosima?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, roughly for improvements. It's a motion to approve an agreement between the State of Illinois Department of Transportation and the City to approve a resolution establishing funding for the State of Illinois Intergovernmental Agreement and to approve an ordinance prohibiting encroachments within the State of Illinois right-of-way along U.S. Route 34 and authorize the Mayor and City Clerk to execute all documents.
Second.
Comments or questions?
If I may.
Yes.
This one was not placed on the standard agenda or on the consent. We have some questions regarding some maintenance obligations and options that were available to us. Those have been clarified. Eric, if you have something with you, you might want to.
We just wanted to make sure that we were
not
on the hook for the maintenance of things we shouldn't be. So we did talk to Dave Alexander down at IDOT, and I also talked to, and Brad talked to see about the sound wall in particular. So we wanted to make sure that it was standard language that we wouldn't remove graffiti and maintain in between the sound walls for the right to the right of way. To the street, so the part of the area. And it is, and we are okay.
That's the sound wall towards. Towards Elmwood.
From Robert Roy Creek to Central.
And it's not very long as far as I can read, right? It's just both sides of the intersection from one.
Basically, Foxville.
Okay. That's awesome. And then the light at Sycamore has been one of my least favorite phone calls. And I remember you had said, well, when they go through and they do 34, and you kind of made the hand movements. Well, I'm really excited about the hand movements.
Now we get to do it again.
That light's horrible. I was reading more within the packet about the timing. So the state's actually going to address the timing of the street light.
Yes.
So you won't sit at Cannonball 34 for 45 minutes, get a 10-second light, and then have to wait for 45 more minutes. So does that also mean that once we hit McHugh in 34, they'll also do the same sorts of adjustments?
Yes.
Wow, man, this meeting's awesome.
Any other comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Teeling.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Derulis.
Aye.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Michuski.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, and we have one more item on the agenda. This is the NPDES MS4 stormwater permit. State requires us to have a public meeting in which this can be discussed, and so we have this on the agenda so that anybody who wanted to could publicly comment during the public comment session as prepared to have a special meeting. It seemed a little overkill, so it seems there are no public comments at the beginning. Unless the council has any comments, I think we have met our objective of holding a public meeting for this.
Alrighty then.
I just had a quick question. Sorry, man. It says right before the end of the summary, or beginning of the summary, it says recommended action. This item requires additional research to see if there were any watershed groups the city could participate in. It should be done in the permit year and documentation provided with the annual report. Did you find any clubs to join, Eric?
It would be all Black River Watershed.
Yeah, Black River Watershed, we're going
to do we get badges?
No badges. What's the certificate?
Let's work on that. There's also a reference in here to climate change. Now, if climate change is going to be debunked in the next few days, will this change the public education? Eric?
I do not believe so.
Just making sure. Making sure you're reading the packet. Thank you, Mr. Eric.
You're welcome. We have no economic development committee report, no public safety committee report. Administration committee, I will turn it over to Alderman Moshe.
I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the marketing plan as presented for the Aurora Area Convention and Visitor Bureau in the city of Aurora.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any comments or questions?
Were we approving this tonight, though? I thought it was kind of a review.
You could approve it if you felt comfortable with it. I think the committee recommendation was they were okay with the plan presented. James Curtis of the AACDB is actually here at present. He can go briefly through each one of the publications in addition to the written materials that are approved in your packet there, just to kind of to go through them. So if you're comfortable, yeah. first year too, you know, it'd be good to get a formal vote on city council. That way there isn't an issue with, you know, implementing it throughout the year. So, James, I don't know if you want to, got a few minutes maybe on each one of the items?
Sure.
Before you get to that part, even though this is $28,000, so it's over the $20,000 threshold, this is part of our committed application for the IGA, so this, that, it doesn't require formal action for approval of it.
I don't think it requires it as part of the IGA. I requested that the city council, like, approve it by motion just so there was no
confirmation of the program itself, not the fact that it's a budgetary item because it's rolled into our...
Correct.
Okay, I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, it would be directing us to contract and the ACBB with the Rack Cards, Chicago Magazine, Go West Guide, Illinois Country Living, Illinois Regional Newspapers, the Aurora Area Go Guide, and Chicago Reader Road Trip Issue.
Yeah, so it's a diverse set of publications. It's a broad mix of travelers, potential travelers to the Yorkville area. And, you know, what it really does, I think the benefit of this program is it leverages the buying power of the organization. So we're already getting extras thrown in. You know, the preliminary proposal that I put in here, we've already got add-ons for a bunch of the publications, the Go West Guide, Chicago Reader I met with today, and got dedicated e-blasts and also some other digital programs to add on. So, you know, I think this co-op is starting off on the right foot, and I hope you're pleased with the results.
Now, the Chicago Reader road trip issue, that was the one that's like the first...
It's the inaugural road trip issue. They used to do a kind of a spotlight in the Midwest. They used to have some letters out to Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa. But I think what they're doing now is highlighting the travel out of Chicago. And I think Yorkville is a great destination for that.
Okay. Yeah, and the idea would be that the AACBB would then work with us basically to contract with each one of those entities. And we would bring reports back to the committee as to what was achieved and kind of what, you know, what the data was from the actual ads. And then, you know, talk about it again this fall and this winter when we look to renew with the organization as a whole.
Anyone else? No.
If you've been reading your administration meeting or committee meeting notes, minutes, you'll notice that we've talked about this, I think, every month for the last 40 years. And one of the things that we wanted was we wanted a specific push for Yorkville because, you know, we get all this money from hotel taxes. What are we going to do with it? How does it specifically benefit Yorkville? And when we first started with this, it was more like a what are you going to do for me kind of thing. And then it's kind of evolved into like what you just said. You've got all these new add-ons, but you're just kind of earning points for your own organization because now you're not just pigeonholed into sponsoring those 10 groups as a whole. You can individualize treatment for each individual community if they so choose to get involved with you like that.
Sure.
So while there is no precedent as far as these particular, you know, bullet points on here in the overview, I'm excited to see what happens next year and what the results are from those. And I don't even think it's going to take a year to see any results, but I'm interested to see in 2, 3, 4 years to see how this kind of evolved for each city within the organization. So, I mean, I'm finally thankful that it turned into a demand situation, into you're finally tooting your own horn because we're part of your horn, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying I'm finally comfortable seeing how where this is going to go as opposed to complaining about it all the time. I think you guys took it and you ran with it, so I'm impressed. So.
James has sent over draft ads to the board review and approve at the staff level at a later date, but my guess is we'll probably take it to committee later this month just to get everybody's feedback. And they're great. Different photos of the eating establishment, some of the events, Whitewater Shoot. So, you know, the idea is that they're going to do the ads, can, you know, kind of produce the creative for us. We'll get a chance to review and tweak it, and then have kind of a cohesive marketing message throughout all six of these publications.
Are they going to use that kayaking photo? Good one. I hope so.
Send it over.
It's the kayaking photo.
One of the draft ads did have it on there, whether it's in there.
I approve it.
I just want to say, you know, it's true. It's been 40 or 2 years that we've been in committee, but we've also been through the CPP while on the board, working through strategic planning and as the board as a whole to develop this program to truly work on retention of communities. I know Sandwich is currently working on their pilot program as well. So they are, you know, I don't know if North Aurora is going to partake in it or not, but there is, you know, obviously some requests to look into it from the qualifying community. So this is a good start for us. I think it really has worked for us to get some individualized support from the organization. It's good to see staff working directly with the CVB on this one to help the Parks and Rec Department and our other functions throughout the city. So this is very good. I'm looking forward to seeing the feedback and results throughout the year to see how the pilot program renews continues to see if it will renew at the CVB level. So it's a one-year term, and the CVB will actually reevaluate this to make sure that the organization is sustainable with its budget, because right now it is not a sustainable program because of the way that our marketing has traditionally been done and how this is diverting the marketing funds. So we will have to reevaluate to make sure that it can continue if it is a good program. So the more information that the administration committee can receive, and myself being a member on the board, will be great from staff, and any input that the council members receive on how the program flushes out would be great.
Alrighty, if everyone's okay with that, we'll just approve it with a voice vote.
Yes.
So all those in favor of approving the marketing plan as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Alright, motion carries. Okay, moving on to Planning and Zoning Commission. I'll entertain a motion to approve the ordinance approving the second amendment to the annexation agreement of property at the northeast corner Illinois Route 34 and Cape Ball Trail, Cedarhurst of Yorkville, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved. Second.
Comments or questions?
A couple things. I know we have two different motions here regarding the annexation of PUD. Some of them are the same that go through both of them. There is a Scrivener's error. I just want to make certain that it's being done because it does have an impact on what the document is. But when we refer to Exhibit B in both documents, it does say final PUD plat. That should actually be a plan.
Correct. And staff's memo refers to it as a plan. It was just a Scrivener's error from the document itself.
As a difference on what the document did. There are a couple things that I want to bring up that I brought up before that I would like to discuss before I would consider making any motions. I'm not sure if the petitioner is here. I know the engineer is here. There were a couple items, three of them actually. One being the sidewalk that I asked about prior. The current plan shows a sidewalk from the access drive, which is about in the center of the site on the west side. It goes down to Route 34. My request was to have a sidewalk that goes to the north from there. What I would be looking for on this one would be a condition for the site or the sidewalk. Once the developer or whoever comes and builds the northern part of the site, that it would trigger the construction of that sidewalk. So it would not be something that would be done immediately, but it would be triggered upon future development, whether that's 2 years, 5 years, 20 years. That's one. In sitting on Public Works and, you know, talking about a lot of these other big objectives we have for complete streets and trying to make sure we have connectivity to the city, I think this is a good one to make sure we have a complete network on the east side of the road the way it does fully develop. So that's one. The second one is the signage. And on the signage, the petitioners requested 3 10-foot high by 15-foot wide signs. The sign at the southeast corner is their main monument sign. They proposed a 7.5 by 15-foot sign. With that one, I would like to ask that the language be limited to 8-foot high by 15. That gives them the window to put their sign in and control set. But for the other two, I would be looking to ask for 2 8-foot high by 8-foot wide maximum signs. Restricts the size a little bit there. 15-foot wide is pretty significant for a small entry sign and then a potential office or medical building. So those are the, you you know, the two items I'm asking is the sidewalk and then the signage. And then the third item would be, I'm going to ask that we attach the photograph of the sign that was provided to the annexation and beauty, as well as the black and white architectural elevation to the annexation. I know the petitioner's not here to respond to these. I don't know if the engineer is in a position to respond to any of them. I look to the council for some potential discussion on this one, but not having a petitioner here kind of makes it hard. I don't want to necessarily force a bond them without having a discussion with them. But those are the items that I'm looking at, is a additional sidewalk triggered by future development, and then some restrictions on the signage, and then a couple of attachments to the annexation.
So we said that engineer for petitioner is here?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have any comments on any of those? Or do you want to open up
the council expand
first?
Either way, if the council has some comments, or if the petitioner...
Let's hear from you first. Do you have any comments or objections? Or?
I spoke with Jordan Dorsey, petitioner, apologizing, couldn't make it here tonight. But as far as regarding the sidewalk, he is on understanding of the request of bringing, if and when it happens, the development to the north, the office building, down to the intersection. So I'm not exactly sure how that can be obtained. He would like to handle that, you know, during final engineering staff approval. And as far as the signs, I don't want to lose sight of this project and, you know, the intention here. He did submit those signs, and that is intended, and the photograph. I don't believe there's anything else that he wants to do, but just keeping the language open, you know, for that if something happened where he would like to modify that sign. That was his biggest reasoning on that sign, and keeping the language as it was. So, with that said, if there's, you know, if this project cannot move forward without that, I guess we will take that into consideration and make it a consideration.
I just want to say one at a time. Sidewalk. Any thoughts or concerns on the council for sidewalk yet?
Well, I thought that sidewalks, whenever there was a new development, were, you know, mandated as an ordinance to create a sidewalk in front of the development. And he said not in this location, and I guess I'm just wondering why not.
Christy can talk to that a little bit. Generally, they're required.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes. They are required for the city. But seeing that we already have a trail on the west side of the road, and that we're requiring the petitioner to add connectivity through a sidewalk from their proposed primary entrance down to a controlled intersection, which is 34, we felt there was no need to continue the sidewalk north, especially at this time or in the future, because we would be directing pedestrian traffic to an uncontrolled cross, and there's nothing really directly across the path at this time to protect pedestrians. It also would be damaging to a residential development.
And what are we talking? We're talking about 30 feet of sidewalk, right, from the north driveway entrance to the north of the property?
We're talking between the two drives. So
if you go
from the south side of the property at 34, there is a trail or a sidewalk being proposed to their main entrance.
Mm.
Continue north, 310 feet, and then you have the second drive. Then there's another 20 feet. I'm talking about the 300 feet between the two drives.
Okay.
Not the area to the north. So the intent is not to connect north when the future development happens. The intent is to connect south to 34 to the bike trail to our interconnected system. It's going to be a long time before we have a trail on the east side or a sidewalk on the east side, because that would require the city or the residents to develop those areas. So the intent is for connectivity to the south. And that would happen at the time of future development of the northern part of the property.
That's different from how staff understood it.
And I apologize to that for, you know, in the Economic Development Committee meeting and that, but the intent is not necessarily that 20 feet stretch north, but between the drives.
Between the drives, okay, yeah, because I've read it differently too.
Okay.
Carla?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I understand what Chris is saying, and I actually, if we can get something that triggers that sidewalk between the two driveways, the existing one that they're going to put in and the future one, that would absolutely be useful. Otherwise, they're just going to have a break there and it's going to be difficult. But in reality, and tell me if I'm mistaken, the future concept plan for the north part of the property with future parking, future building, future driveway, we're not approving any of that at this point. That's just a concept.
You're approving the ability for them to build that in the future.
Right, but in the future they have to come back with their actual plans.
To the building department, right, from the city council.
Okay, so we can't request it at that time?
You can put that as a condition in the agreement.
In this agreement?
Yes. Okay. And the staff would implement that. We would execute that during the building process.
And that's what I'm asking.
Right. Would that be the case, and I do agree with Chris, if there's no mechanism for us to demand it in the future, when they come into that future development, which I'm fine with, the north side being developed, but if we basically waive that right today by not demanding that, then we're really at their mercy to do that stretch between the two driveways in the future. So on that, I do agree with Chris. I'd like to see that gap between the two driveways be a condition of future development, not required today, but
from a staff perspective, we have looked at that as a request. I don't think we would be opposed to that.
No, I can answer that on behalf of the petitioner. I would agree to that. Okay. To those terms and adding that. So, and tying just a little bit to your point, it is a rural section right now, so there's no curb and gutter, but there's ditching. So, basically placing that sidewalk outside of the ditch, it might even be on the property. But between the two driveways, it's curb.
So unless I was opposed to the sidewalk between the two driveways, that would set up, right?
Yep.
Sign. You're okay with the sign on the language for sign on 34?
Well,
in terms of the two on the inbound?
What they are asking for is 10 by 15 for all three. I would ask that we limit the height on the sign on 34. The 15 I'm fine with, but I would like to restrict it to the height that they're actually proposing, which they're proposing 7.5, so I'll give them a little flexibility to say 8 feet in height.
Isn't it 18 feet wide?
Well, this is where if you're looking at the drawing that the petitioner submitted as reference, there's some discrepancies because that was a different project, and so that is not necessarily what they are going to build here.
I can clarify. The petitioner is asking for a 10-foot tall sign that's 15 feet wide. The current ordinance has stated they can come in and build a 12-foot tall sign. The only reason why the sign images were put into the packet and not specifically requested not be an attachment or exhibit to the ordinance is because they're entering a new market, which is the Chicagoland area. They already have one project in development that's in Naperville. Their type of signage that they typically have done in their prior market in St. Louis area has been different. And so they're looking to do a different type of sign. So they did not want to, they're just showing you examples of the types of signs that they've done in other communities. And you see that it's tasteful, that it has the material that they're requesting, but they didn't want to marry themselves to a specific sign. That's why they did not want to have it as an attachment. If it's an attachment and they deviate from it significantly, they have to come back for a public hearing to amend the agreement. That's why staff recommended not to have it as an exhibit, but as a reference so that you know what type of product they do produce in their different communities.
So if, since it's not an exhibit, this is just kind of a concept, not necessarily for this development. If we approve the size, who has the ultimate say in the future as to the aesthetics? They come back with a sign, and we say yes, it's acceptable, or they say it's under the size, it's in. And what if we don't like the sign?
Well, we do have criteria, and that's done at the staff level, the staff review of the building permit process, which we do all the time. The only time you would see anything different for a signage is if it's part of a PUD package, which they don't have to provide, or if they're asking for a variance. So all the signs that you see that have not come before you have been reviewed and approved by the city, and we do have appearance and code standards for those types of signs.
Just summarize quickly the aesthetic standards that are required for the sign.
Sure, so the sign has to have a base and a frame of a material that has a masonry product or has a material that is consistent with the primary structure. So their primary structure is going to be pretty much 100% cementitious base. So they're going to have hardy board, they're going to have some type of stone or brick in their facade, and that will be mimicked from the sign itself.
I understand the petitioner doesn't want to tie 100% to this. The concern I have, very, very frankly, is if we allow the size restrictions that are there, the 10 by 15, they are allowed to build them. Now, is that fitting for the size of this use? Personally, I don't think so. I don't think the 10 by 15 is justified for a use of this type. It's a very large sign. It's comparable to some of our shopping center multi-tenant buildings. The intent of a PUD, and if I could agree, the PUD is not intended by to be a mechanism solely for the use of allowance of increased density or as a means of circumventing the bulk regulations or zoning standards. Rather, a planned unit development shall generally provide the attributes in excess of conventional city zoning, building, and other land use requirements. And then it goes on to do that to specify what those are. The intent of the PUD is to provide something better. Granted, if they came in with straight zoning, they'd be allowed a 12-foot sign. They're asking for 10. Is that the best use of the signature? I don't think so. I think the sign they've proposed, that 7.5 by 15 or 16-foot, that's a good sign. It's fitting. It fits in with the sign that's across the street from them and down the road at the government center. Those monument entry signs. They're subtle, but they do their job. Then they will have an actual entrance sign, which, again, for this type of use, a 10 by 15 allowed sign, that it's overkill, in my honest opinion. That's why I'm asking for this. They may be saying that they will not build that, but in the world of development, you may not own the property when it's actually built. I do not know this developer, so I don't want to say that they are not credible, that they are not good, that they will not live up to what they're proposing and what they're saying. I do know the engineer. I know the engineer very credible. But in development, if you have the ability to have that window, more than likely it will be used. And that's my concern. They're proposing something, but they're not willing to commit specifically to what they're representing. They said 15 by 7 foot, but they won't do that. So that gives me a little concern. I would like to have some assurity that we know what we're going to get here. That's the intent of a PUD. It's a negotiated process. We're getting something, they're getting something. We're supposed to get something better than the standard. If we just want the standard, reveal the PUD and go for it. But I'm looking to have something a little better here. I think that the signage we have in our city, we have certain standards. They're only allowed one sign by straight zoning. If you go by the sign ordinance, they only get one sign, 64 square feet, two-sided, 12 feet tall. That's it. That's all they're allowed. They're asking for three. I'm willing to give them three, but at a compromise of the size.
What say you all? Yes, sir.
I don't care. I've gone over and over in my mind about the criteria of the PUD, and I think the size of the sign, yeah, that's huge. You're one place. Why do you need a sign that big? If that's what you want to do, and it's not as obnoxious as the bank across the street that flares the American flag like this at 4 in the morning, I mean, I don't see this as being a point of contention. So I respect your wishes and I respect your opinion. Personally, I'm going to vote I don't care on the sign, because you're getting three. They're going to be ginormous any way you cut it. The one in the picture is cute. I would go with that. That gets my cute vote. But that's as far as I want to go with it, because, again, the sign ordinance is there to protect sightlines and the safety of the citizens, and that's your job. So if you want to make it with a bunch of rocks and have that Cedarhurst sign, cool. Go ahead. But I'm not worried about the enormity of the sign, because, again, it's one place. It's a destination. It's not like, hey, come over here, you have Alzheimer's. It's not like that. It's not like, come eat at my restaurant. It's like, this is your one spot. So, personally speaking, I don't think you need three signs. I think one would suffice, because you're the only spot like that in Yorkville. But, again, I'm not going to inhibit your ability to make the Masons mine. So go right ahead. But, again, I'm cool. I just don't really care.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought as well. I'm sure, I mean, staff has final say-so on it, and I know that, I mean, they know the horses.
I'm sorry. Can I just as allowed, it would be allowed to go up on the sign. We measure sign height from the crown of the road. This sign is depressed about 2 feet. So in all actuality, this sign, they're asking for an overall height of 10 feet. It would only be 8 foot tall. So in the negotiation process, they're giving up their right to have not only a 12-foot high sign from the crown of the road, but actually an overall height of 14 feet. What the increase comes in is the width of the sign. They're required, they're asking for overall width of 15. But when you measure the sign area, it may not be as excessive. The sign will probably not be 15 feet wide. The columns will probably have a 10-foot wide sign area.
Yes.
Well, I mean, out of the three issues that Alderman Funkhauser brought up, the first one I'm happy we were able to rectify because that one was the most concerning. The sign, I'm kind of on the fence, frankly, I'm not going to hold it up over the sign. I don't have to raise my hand again for the third point. If the drawings are not the actual drawings, for like, example, for the sign, then I don't want it as an attachment. The facade drawing, if that's the actual facade, then I would support it as an attachment. But if not the actual facade, it's just a concept plan, then I don't want it as an attachment. If it's not the actual one that they intend to use, I would rather not have it as an attachment. So with the sidewalk, I vote for it the way it is.
Just one more point. Our sign ordinance has been in effect for several years now. We have had quite a few requests for variances, and they've all been granted. To me, there's a flaw in the design. Either we're just willing to give away the farm, or there's a flaw in the process. I come from development. I understand development. I understand asking for everything that you can possibly get, but this is our city. We set criteria for what our signs should be. When we have an ability to negotiate it, we should try to get the best we can. And I respect your opinions that, you know, you don't care, and, you know, it's not a big issue to hold it up. I don't want to hold this up. I think this will be a good project. We don't know what the future use is on the third sign. No idea what it is. That'll have to come back to a later point. But the two signs, we could control what they look like. We have let so many development issues kind of just run away from us. We give because it brings in new development. Are they necessarily the best looking? Are they necessarily the best uses and the best places? I don't think so. We're doing a good job, but we're not doing a great job. At some point, we have to set a threshold and say, hold to the ordinance. PUDs are being abused. I'm not saying this one is, but we have an ability to make this a better project. That's it. I just think the signs are too much, too big.
Anyone else? Yes.
From my perspective, public safety, traffic control, drainage, tax revenue, yes. Those are the four things that I'm like, ooh, let's figure something out, let's work together. I'm not calling it a gimme, but it's like, okay, cool, go ahead and make your 8 foot tall, 15 foot wide sign that you want to invest some money in. I don't see it as being a point of contention. So I don't want to say that I don't care because I don't care, but on this one, this doesn't bug me. It's like, if the sign was in the way, Chrissy would go, you can't do that, you're blocking a sight line. Public safety. If the sign was in the way of the retention pond, she would say, can't do that, drainage. If the sign was shooting fireworks like that one at Cannonball on 34 at the bank, that's public safety. Like, I see all of those things as being very good reasons to have a discussion about it. I don't think this is the thing to discuss. I get it, and like I said, I totally respect it. I don't think we should be worrying about the width and the height of these signs because, again, they're going to be sunk 2 feet. They're going to be matching the facade. If you want to spend $80,000 on three signs, man, go right ahead. I'll help. But I don't see this as being a thing that we're being lax on. We were lax on drainage. We have empty farmland north of my neighborhood with no roads that has excellent drainage. Right now, this doesn't impede public safety, traffic, text, anything. I forgot what I was talking about because I'm just for a little bit, whatever. I'm just saying this doesn't seem like a thing that we should be holding up because of the signage. They understand our intent. Christy's on the ball as far as the sign ordinance is concerned. I I think we should have fun with signs. We shouldn't be so angry about signs all the time. So yeah, I've said my piece, but I don't think this is something that we're dropping balls on PUDs at all. Resident.
I just wanted to say that I do agree that there is something wrong with our sign ordinance, because when I first got on the city council, there were businesses over on 34 that wanted to have signs on the back of their building because they were losing business all the time because, and I think that our sign ordinance needs work. I agree with you, Chris, and I think the requests that have come in for the variances have been fine. Particularly the Hampton Inn, that was a big problem. Well, they're set so far back, that sign hasn't bothered anybody, and we gave them a variance. I agree with the variances that we've given, because I think our sign ordinance is a little crazy. I think it needs to be, you know, a little more conducive to businesses. And then they have to go through this big, long process to get signs. So I do agree with this, but as far as, and my question to you was, well, why do they want the size sign? Why is that even an issue? Well, I feel like Christy answered that by saying that, well, that land that it's going to be on is depressed. It's not going to be actually as high as it would seem it would be. So I don't know. That was my whole question when I talked to you, was why do they want that? And I think that's been cleared out right now. So I don't have a problem with the sign. I'm glad we've got the sidewalk situation cleared out.
I understand some of Chris's comments on it, and I just think the project is too valuable to having to jeopardize that. Yes.
One last question. Correct me if I'm wrong, they have applied for the IRTA TIF?
Yes, they have.
If they do have that approved, what does that do to our tax revenue for this piece?
I don't know that it has any impact long term. In the short term, they are able to receive a sales tax exempt building materials. So if they end up buying the materials from the store in town, then that would be exempt. That would be our loss. But they don't have to. So it's wherever they buy them from.
So that would be the only exception is on the building materials.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, all the other tax credits and impacts are at the state level. I don't think there's anything else that really impacts local revenues.
And it's in process.
And I'm sorry, not enterprise. Sorry.
Oh,
there's all.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know we had sort of the same discussion when it came to the Mike and Dean sign, because it was such a tall sign, and we gave that a variance. And I'll be honest with you, I've been on the council 6 years, I have not had one complaint about any of the signs that we allowed to vary from the ordinance. So I know we have an ordinance, and you're right, if we keep changing the ordinance, and I don't get to say this very often, Diane's right. But frankly, I haven't gotten a single complaint about any of the variances we've given. It's business friendly, that's what we want to be, so at this point, that's right.
Yes, ma'am.
My only comment, I'm not that far off the side to it, but I think it's a little, my opinion, three signs in that short span. I mean, I get the one right in front of the facility and one with the proposed one. It's kind of overkill for three signs. That's my comment. That's why we have to have three signs in that. Two for the two places
would be offered. See
if we can manage I go beyond Chris. I would even go with three signs. I think two is enough for that site. And looking at the purpose of what this sign is trying to achieve, I think the size of the signs are excessive. And that's, I can only say that from on a planner's hat years ago, and having been involved in the design of the signage for college campuses and universities, that this signage as I see it proposed right now is excessive. It's 2 cents.
Okay, Ms. Orr, how are we doing here? Do we need a motion to amend, or?
Yeah, first of all, it's an amendment, so we need more than a simple majority. We need that stated for the record. You can do a motion to amend the agreement and then approve it as amended. Now, the provision in the annexation, the First and Second Amendment to the
So you need a simple majority to amend the agreement?
No.
No, but to amend the agreement, you just need a simple majority.
Correct.
Yes, ma'am.
Would there be two amendments, one for the sidewalk and one for the sign?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
But was there an amendment to the sign?
No, I did not make the motion because I wanted to discuss it prior to receive feedback from the petitioner before making the motion. So there's no motion.
Let's get the sidewalk out of the way.
Excuse me. Oh. The sidewalk isn't provided for in the annexation, correct?
No mention of the sidewalk is provided in either agreement.
So this would be additional language.
So that would not amend the agreement is what my point is. But in the approval, it would be these approvals conditioned upon the sidewalk being built between the two driveways. Got it?
So clarify.
You don't need an amendment to the agreement, but it'll be amended to the ordinance approving it.
So it's a conditional approval.
Correct.
Okay. So we need the last.
Let us see if you want the agreement amended with regard to the sign.
Yeah, any language of the signage, we would need
the
amendment.
And that is in the agreement, is it not, Chris?
Yes. That's correct. It's in
multiple. It's on A and B, on A, correct. That's in section A and B.
So would you like to make a motion to amend it?
I understand, but I'm going on record. I would like to make a motion to amend the signage conditions to allow one 8-foot tall by 15-foot wide sign at the corner and two additional 8-foot tall by 8-foot wide maximum signs as illustrated on the site.
So you're allowing two signs?
Yes.
Yes,
the two of them are smaller.
Gotcha.
And that's 8 foot from the crown of the rose.
From the grade. It is maximum size.
From the crown of the rose.
Yes. Maximum. Yes. Maximum size. Regardless of the.
So it'll still be measured though from the crown of the rose, right? So
if
an 8 foot sign on this lot would basically be 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. But the exception is one at the north end is that grade comes up. The lowest point is the southeast side of the site, and then it continues to go up. So,
okay.
Transition grade.
So we have a motion to amend. We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
To rule a second.
To rule a second.
And this is on a sign.
What are we voting on?
We are voting on the sign to change the language from three signs of 10 foot by 15 foot to one sign of 8 foot by 15 and two additional signs 8 by 8.
Just
one. You got that?
And a no is to leave it alone, correct?
A no would leave it alone. A yes would change it to these.
And does the yes then affect the project?
Yeah, here's the issue though, and this is where it gets dicey. So you have people that are going to vote yes on this amendment. We need more than a simple majority to approve the annexation agreement. So I'm saying this could be dicey to the extent that we might not have a majority to vote yes on the amendment, and then with those parties not vote on the annexation agreement as a whole. So they would win regardless.
Well, I'm going to make a comment. I just hope that, you know, this is the chance to change the signs, and if the council votes not to change the signs, it's not like British Parliament. I hope that the honorable gentleman from Kyle's Crossing might consider.
Ridge. He's probably
the third ward to me, yeah.
I mean,
that's like a whole different world.
You do understand my point.
Yes.
And there is no intent to hold up the or stop
that's
the development. It is to be on record, and hopefully that there's some people of good conscience that will see it's the right way.
Okay, so what I'm saying is we have a gentleman's understanding that this initial vote
will not
jeopardize the ultimate vote. Gotcha.
Okay.
Good.
Does this side of the room understand all
that? Let me break it down. Vote no. Vote yes.
A yes changes the size of the signs. A no leaves them as is.
Size matter.
Roll call, please.
Frieders.
Nay.
Terrillis.
Yay.
Aye.
No, that would be a yay. That's fine.
Aye. Colosimo.
Nay.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Milchewski.
Aye.
Teeling.
Nay.
Coke.
Nay.
Motion fails.
You have to vote.
That's 4-3.
Yes, I know, but you always need
to vote.
Can I be
later?
Pardon me?
It's 3-4.
3-4.
3-4.
Yes, 4-4. That's phrased in the affirmative, so you have to have 5 yes votes.
Correct. Oh, okay.
So,
all right, fine.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
I'm with you.
It fails.
It fails, right?
Yeah.
All right,
it fails.
Motion fails.
Motion fails. Okay. Any other discussion on the original motion?
No.
Okay.
Language for the site.
Yes.
The motion would be to approve the amendment. I don't have the ordinance.
Based on
the condition of the additional mandate.
Do I need to make a motion to amend?
No.
No. I think we've got it.
Okay, so we're finishing that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're approving the original motion with the addition of the sidewalk between the drives.
Correct.
Roll call, please.
Terrillis.
Aye.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Milchewski.
Aye.
Teeling.
Aye.
Coke.
Aye.
Frieders.
Man. Present.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. It's an eye vote.
It's an eye.
Do I need to locate it?
No.
Okay. Okay. Whew. We've only got one more to go. I want to make a motion to approve an ordinance approving an amended final plan unit development plan, Cedar Hills of Yorkville, formerly known as Cannonball Trails, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Comments or questions?
Did you want to report that it was for the state as a plan and not a plan?
Yes, it's the same one on the exhibit F that is supposed to, or exhibit P. Yeah, who made that? Sorry.
I heard a second.
Oh.
It didn't have a second.
Second. Boom.
So, okay.
Frieders
made
the
vote.
Okay.
And yes, the language of the Scrivener's error for exhibit D, or exhibit E, plan unit development, plat should be changed to plan.
Correct.
Roll call.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Milchewski.
Aye.
Teeling.
Aye.
Coke.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Terrillis.
Aye.
She passes.
Okay, my city clerk report.
No.
Community and liaison reports. Any staff reports?
No reports.
We'll go into our 2017 fiscal year 2018 budget presentation. Yes, you have 20 minutes
time.
2018. Like last year, we're going to do the same format. One definite presentation at City Council, that'll be tonight. One mandated public hearing 2 weeks from tonight. And then the City Council decides to approve the budget before April 30th, 2017. So same outline as last year, talk about the budget memo. We're going to follow the big picture year by year overview. Items to note, small picture, fund overview, and then the line items of interest. Just a reminder, even though this is a five-year budget, the only budget we actually approved is the fiscal year 18 budget, and everything else is included within that our plan. So how do things look? Well, a little bit better than expected. You know, fiscal year 17 is the year that we're currently in. We approved a couple hundred thousand dollar deficit. We actually project right now that we're going to be in modest surplus. So, you know, really, this year when we approved our fiscal year 17 budget, we approved it with a $300,000 or $400,000 deficit under the assumption that as long as we were above 30% fund balance, and that continued to go forward through our conservative revenue projections, that things would be okay. So that's what we're recommending again this year, that fiscal year 18 is recommended to be in deficit, but even at the end of fiscal year 18, we would expect to be above 30% fund balance. So just to give you an idea of how that looks on a dollar amount, again, as things continue to improve each year, you've got a better than expected picture than what we showed in last year's budget. So again, $3 million is going to be our kind of distress point for severe fiscal distress. So last year we projected that fiscal year 19, or the year end of that. This year we're not projecting it really until fiscal year 22. So if you ask Rob, he'll say $5 million is about where you want to be before things get a little dicey. But you know, when we're going through the recession, we had about $3 million in the bank at any one time. So that's where I'm comfortable. So when you look at the aggregate budget surplus, this cross here between fiscal year 17 and 18 is really just a function of delayed projects, but you end up kind of in the same place long term that we had projected last year. So 19 and 20 are generally the same. So in aggregate, so this is going to be fund balance between the 2 years. We're still projecting a slow decline over the next 4 years. The one notable difference from any other five-year budget that we've looked at in the past is that fiscal year 22, this is actually a small uptick. So for the first time in several years, we're actually projecting, you know, kind of an aggregate fund surplus. So we'll see how that turns out. In the big picture, the important, most important notes, your fund balance is going to be, above 30% through fiscal year 19. Which is really good. That's policy. And really, based on a couple budget presentation proposals in the past, we were at 20% for fiscal year 21. So in the water fund, again, we're above 40% through fiscal year 19, which is very stable. We approved the five-year rate schedule 3 years ago now. So we don't have any rate or fee increases projected for fiscal year 18, which is great. And we're actually shoehorning a lot of the capital projects into the water fund over the five-year budget, including some new things from last year's land acquisition related to the water study, well and treatment facility rehab, and a couple other things. Sewer fund, we're continuing to draw that down. And again, our revenue projections are still pretty conservative. So less so than last year, as we'll get into when we actually look at the sales tax numbers. Things are doing pretty good there on a year-over-year basis. A couple new staff members with we're trying to make sure that they are shared with Oswego and Montgomery. And then we've got a couple staff members transitioning from part-time inspector to full-time. And then we do propose to make the interim assistant administrator permanent. And then a lot of capital projects, which we'll get into. So over a five-year period, looking at our fund balance, again, I mentioned that we're above 30%, which is our policy, which is great. And we're really within arm's reach of what we've proposed for the past few years over the five-year budget period, which is very good. In the water fund, over a seven-year period. So again, we've got fiscal year 17 here, the year that we're currently in. So I actually showed You have a countryside project here in fiscal year 16. You know, we're within spitting distance of 30% over the five-year period again, really with some modest inflationary rate increases built in to the back end of this budget. So that's good news because we haven't showed that. And then in the past, we've talked about the sewer fund just drawing down the fund balance and implementing a inflationary rate increase over a several-year period. So that eventually you are coming down to fiscal year 19 and 12%, but then back up over time, which is good. So you'll be able to do more projects and have a stable fund. And then just, you know, your overall budget picture of surplus deficit, I mentioned in fiscal year 22 for the first time, we are going to be proposing a modest aggregate budget surplus. So even with all the things we're about to talk about, you know, 5 years from now, hopefully things will be pretty good with really no changes to budgeting assumptions on the expenditures or the revenue side. Long list of major initiatives there, lots of projects. Of note, that's new, the land acquisition for the water study. We do have about $600,000 in the budget in case we're able to identify a site with Oswego and Montgomery and say we're going to lock this up for the long term. So if that doesn't occur, that just gets delayed over the long term. Fiscal year 19, I wanted to highlight two new projects, both in the Parks Department and Flatberry Creek Nature Preserve, which is actually an OSLED grant requirement as a result of either Riverfront Park or Bristol Bay 65, and the Wyandette Ridge Top Lot, which is actually a function of an annexation agreement amendment from a few years ago. So the developer is going to give us $50,000, we're going to put in a top lot there, which is great. Road to Better Roads. In fiscal year 20. This is the year that starts to get a little bit dicey, that we'll have to look at funding levels. And so, you know, as things progress with surpluses over the next 5 years, that's kind of the first year that we really have to take a look at it and make sure that we're funding it to our full recommendations. So, of note in this year, Caledonia Park being completed. So that's assuming that the Caledonia subdivision is actually going to get built out between now and then, and we're going to be able to justify park construction within that subdivision. That's great. And then fiscal year 21 and 22, a few years out, just Road to Better Roads. So again, this is the highlight of our aggregate budget through this five-year budget proposal. So we're going to get into our items note section next. In the past, I've spent a couple minutes on each one of these items. I'm going to kind of abbreviate that here just to make sure I'm under my 20-minute time limit, but also just because we've put all this in the memo. So if anybody has any questions, you know, over the next several weeks before we approve the budget, I'm happy to get into these in a little bit more detail. No scheduled bond refinancing. We did want to note, though, that we did get two rating upgrades last year. We talked about that during the audit process. Now that has the ability, or it actually did save us, you know, tens of thousands of dollars when we went to refinance. So, you know, as our financial advisors take a look at different things, if something comes up that they say, hey, you can save yourself some money, we'll do it immediately, no questions asked. Special census, that's on hold due to the federal hiring freeze. We still haven't crossed our threshold where we should have started it yet. We expected it to be April or May. You know, if the census contacted us within the next couple weeks, we might be delayed maybe a month on that, but I do get the feeling just from talking to the Census Bureau employees that they're really trying to figure out ways to make it work, so we'll see if that occurs or not. But, you know, if we don't get it done by April or May and don't get the numbers certified by the end of the year and start receiving revenue really in January, February, March of 2018, that's when you start to lose that $15,000 a month, which is a lot of money. So property taxes, we've talked about that. We approved the tax levy back in December. They are frozen in 18. We're going to reevaluate that in fiscal year 19, depending on what occurs, mainly with police pension obligations. Downtown TIF, we've talked about, it's our number one city council goal. Talked about it a little bit in the EDC. We're going to bring forward a proposal, we actually talked about it today, to remove some properties from the existing TIF that have negative equity. To then create a second TIF that would actually expand the boundaries and then contain those properties that have negative equity, and then extend the first TIF with all the taxing entities in the state level, and then start to think about big picture projects going forward. But really until those things stabilize and you get a longer timeline on the two TIFs, or even one TIF, you're not going to be able to fund any large projects. So we do have land acquisition for some strategic properties in the downtown and some modest projects in the next few years. Capital projects, we're continuing to increase in funding. If you look at the actual chart that's in the budget memo, it is less than fiscal year 17 simply because of the countryside project. So Road to Better Roads, we've reviewed that every year on a five-year basis, and we did that again in November of 2016. If everybody's interested in looking at the plan, it's available on the website. It'll give you a guideline of what we're going to try to repave every year going forward. Long list of unfunded capital projects. We talk about those in Public Works. But knocked off of last year's Sycamore 34 as it relates to the Route 34 expansion project that IDOT is doing. Kennedy Road repaving, which we just approved tonight in the intergovernmental agreement. And a couple other backup generators for the water system, which we can get into in a little bit more detail if anybody wants to in the water fund. So Countryside, just giving you a status update there. That project is wrapping up. Which isn't necessarily news budget-wise, but we did actually start to assume that we would not be getting any grant funding for Countryside and Center Parkway, and so we've thrown that into the budget at 100% city cost. Water rates, I mentioned, we are recommending that they stay frozen for fiscal year 18. You can still see growth in aggregate because of the city's growth, so there's more people paying into it. And then we've budgeted for 5% growth beyond that. So that can come from new housing starts, it could come from an inflationary water rate increase, but we are recommending to tackle that actually this year. So I-9 is up there, we've talked about that loss from fiscal year 15, we've recovered a little bit of money, there's tens of millions of dollars that have been seized by the federal government in order to repay creditors that have lost, so litigation is ongoing there. Both with organizations that we've partnered with, but then also a lot of other municipalities are in the same thing. Talked a little bit about building inspections there. When we were going through the budget process and community development had come to us and said, our building inspection load is just getting a little heavy. We want to make sure that we're still doing quality inspections so that we don't have housing problems in the future. I asked them to do the survey, we put that in the packet, and that's all going to be related, again, to the fact that we have the seventh most amount of new housing starts in the Chicago region. So even more incredible than that, because it's the Chicago region, that actually includes one Indiana town. So if you take it on a state basis, we're number six. Engineering department cost analysis is in there. We do that every year. It's still recommended to go in-house by about $140,000. Talk a little bit about our vehicle replacement schedule. Again, we've done that every year too. We've got a target of $250,000 in each one of the departments to keep up with actual vehicle replacements. And so we're getting closer on the police side and public works. We still have a ways to go. One of the new things that we did budget-wise this year is talk about administrative chargebacks. So for anybody that's been on the council for a few years, you might have remembered that we used to charge salaries out of land cash. We had a lot of land cash revenues. For time that was actually spent working on land cash projects. So similar concept. In the enterprise funds, you're supposed to be looking at the water fund. The sewer fund is their own standalone business. So, that's a business that's run for decades now without a chief administrative officer, finance director, anybody paying bills, HR for the squabbles, or benefits administration that happens with employees. And so we took an accurate stock of our time spent in each one of those funds and then portioned that out to the different funds this year. So it doesn't result in like a raise for anybody. It's just how our salary total gets allocated is split between different departments now. So GC Housing Rental Assistance is in there for the first year. I think there's $12,000 is what we had recommended. That building is actually scheduled to be opened in the beginning of 2018. So there's a break-in period for the application and assistance program that starts in the fall, so we'll start publicizing that. We could see some expenditures in fiscal year 18, which is good news. Building condition survey, we've been talking about that at a couple different committees over the past year. When we got into the RFP, we thought that maybe the price would be a little bit cheaper than what we expected. We do expect it to be about $125,000. We've put that in the budget as a proposal. It would take stock of every single building, the existing conditions, make recommendations as to which buildings we should keep and invest in, what kind of maintenance needs to be done, and so on and so forth. So that'll be brought to a future committee, but we want to let you know that we did put that in the budget. IT services is a shared service that we've been talking about at admin for the past several months, too. We actually got accepted into the Northern Suburbs IT Consortium last week. And so we're in the process of negotiation with both the consortium and their vendor to provide IT services to the city. So the idea being that you've got a Loctite contract at a discount rate with a large IT IT vendor that has you know, a lot of knowledge about what we should be doing, and it forces the staff basically to go and meet with other communities on a monthly basis to talk about IT services. So, you know, I look at it as you know, kind of strategic advice for IT that doesn't really cost us anything. So, you know, every month I'll get to go to Buffalo Grove or wherever it ends up being, talk to them about what they're doing long-term with network security and a couple other things. So that's good news. Build program, we didn't change any assumptions in the budget. It is up at the end of December 2017. And I just wanted to note in there that if you look at the net cost in the budget, it's a little bit difficult to do with how we code it, just the revenue and expenditure line item. But it is approaching about $200,000 in the water fund and $115,000 in the sewer fund. Parks and recreation facilities is a discussion point that has been had at Park Board. We do have $250,000 in the budget for a smaller facility, and the Park Board recommendation is that they would actually get a little bit of extra money to do a larger facility. City Council goals, I won't talk about each one of these. It's on there in the budget and individual notes, but we are moving forward with, you know, recruiting a grocery store, and we're trying to steer new proposals towards shared services, building needs we talked about, vehicle replacement we're trying to chip away at. So there's a little bit more detail on each one of those in the explanation. So, now getting into the small picture, just wanted to highlight a couple, you know, expenditure line items, and then there is a lot more detail on month ago. There's more line items and more detail in the actual budget memo in the budget. So, property taxes is something we've talked about every year since we had to increase them back in 2012. We do budget for an aggregate increase in those. But it really depends on what the police pension is going to do. So the police pension increases have been so large in the past few years that it's actually taken money away from the corporate levy. So when you look at this line item from year to year, it might actually decrease, but property taxes may be flat or may have an inflationary increase. Not addressed in any of that is anything going on at the state level. So the state says you get a five-year property tax freeze or a permanent property tax freeze, which has been discussed. We'll get to deal with that after the fact. So. Sales tax, 5% year over year, which is incredible. There have been months, both in June, July, which is our prime building materials season, and in Christmas, that you've had 10, 11, 12% growth year over year. So that's a function of more people living here, but then also I think people are just spending more locally, which is great. So we had budgeted for 0 to 2% growth year over year in the budget proposals passed. And this year, we bumped it up to 3% because we think that's even conservative. So we'll see. And that's not occurring across the board. You know, we talk about, you know, sales tax estimates with other municipalities. We go to Metro West meetings, and people are worried about it going down because of internet sales. And I'm looking at it going, I have no idea how it's going up, 10 or 12%. So it's pretty incredible. State income tax, we talked about the special census being delayed. We factored that into the budget proposal, and 2% after that. Talked about the administrative chargeback, which is a line item in several different departments. And then across the board, when we get onto the expenditure side, same assumptions in years past. We match the fiscal year 18 salary increases with our union contracts, 8% for health insurance, IMRF increases. You've got training, similar budget amounts as in years past. Office cleaning is new, and that's for the contract. Of note that's new this year is tuition reimbursement. So there's actually an employee in the administration department and one police officer in the police department that is taking, I think they're both taking, or one is taking an associate's degree class, and the other one is taking a bachelor's degree class, which is good. They sign the repayment forms, they go and get educated, and then use those skills in the city for a couple of years, which is nice. On the administration side, we had the clerk and treasurer referendum, so we don't have a treasurer budgeted still through fiscal year 19. And then after that, obviously, zeroed out. We did propose to make the interim assistant administrator permanent, and then we thought we'd hold off for at least a year on the administrative intern program as far as recruiting a new one. Finance, we've got the new audit contract in there. On the police department side, we did not make any proposals for staff. We actually talked about that at a couple of department head budget meetings. The request preference was for vehicles more than staff on the police side. So that's why we were able to bump the police squads up from, I think, one is what we had planned last year to three this year.
Community development, again, we're talking about the part-time inspector going to full-time, and then replacing that part-time inspector position with another one. On the streets department, we've got hanging baskets coming back in on our nice new decorative streetlights and our senior subsidy for garbage services that are still in place from spring 2014. On the admin services side, a couple new line items, special census salaries in fiscal year 18, obviously. So depending on if that moves forward or not, we've got that money figured out. Purchasing manager, which we already approved under an IGA a few months ago, that position actually should be starting within a couple of weeks. We think mid-March, actually, is our timeline there. And then GC housing we talked about, and then the utility tax rebate that we approved a couple years ago tied to the skills factor that got approved. So we've got all those things figured in. We do have a new proposal for the facilities maintenance manager. So the idea would be that one employee between all three towns would set up the structure and the processes to either outsource maintenance, to review and do the maintenance themselves to a certain degree. And so we would go through a similar intergovernmental agreement process that we did for the purchasing manager. And then we also have the IT services in there too. So on the SSA side, we talked about at Public Works Committee this month, that we would have a proposal for a management company in both Fox Hill and Sunflower, just to take away some reporting and checking duties that Eric does every year for those two subdivisions. So we're going to be preparing an RFP that will be brought forth in front of the City Council in the next few weeks. And then levies that would match just our maintenance expectations going forward. Motor fuel tax, just trying to draw down that fund balance over a five-year period as we have been each year. Baseline road bridge, we have it in the budget to close the roadway if we have to. I think we've got an inspection coming up relatively soon, but the inspection didn't recommend it the last time we went out there, so that's something that comes back that we would then move forward with the closure. So the citywide capital fund, we do have the road infrastructure fee in place for the five-year period, and a bunch of other projects, especially related to water funds, so remaining bond proceeds to offset Countryside Parkway, Center Parkway, and Kennedy Road. All these state projects and expansions that have been going on and have been in the state's budget are in our five-year budget, including the Kennedy Road repaving that we just approved tonight, too. Vehicle and equipment we talked about a little bit. This one parks vehicle in fiscal year 18 actually will get scratched. That was something, the panel van that Tim had requested, that we ended up approving as part of the fiscal year 17 budget. So that was something that we identified a couple weeks ago. And then again, the $250,000 for the Parks and Recreation Facilities in the budget too. Debt service, not abated property taxes for the first year in several years, which is good news. And that's just a pay down on an old bond that we had from 2004, 2005. Water funds, talked a little bit about. Water sales were much better than we had expected for the second year in a row, which means more revenue in the water fund, which means more projects, and maybe even an increase in aggregate revenue, even though water rates are supposed to stay flat in fiscal year 18. So just a note on the connections, how we calculated those. We're assuming 120 new housing starts. It works out that between all the different developments and their different water connection fees, about $1,100 per dwelling unit. So that's what we did for our assumption. Plus the GC housing project, which by itself is a water connection fee of about $115,000. That's paid in two installments, time of building permit, and then time of occupancy. So those should both occur in fiscal year 18, which is a significant revenue source here. So land acquisition we talked about, water study recommended it, so we're budgeting for it. And then some well rehabs in the water study too in fiscal year 18-20. Route 71 water main relocation keeps getting pushed off, so the earliest that'll occur is fiscal year 19. And then the, we talked about the $1 million number in years past. That actually has been portioned out to different departments now, so the water fund, I think, is only actually housing about $500,000 of total relocation. So, when you cut it in half like that, it helps the water fund out pretty tremendously over a five-year period, too. So that was good news. Sewer fund, really not much is changing. The rates are approved in April 14, so we're not recommending those to be changed. We did still show the YDSD improvements in there for I&I. Those haven't been committed to by them. We've got a new executive director coming in May, I believe, and so we'll talk to him about that as it occurs. Land cash fund, the parks that we talked about earlier recreation, not much has changed there. You know, we're doing similar hometown dates budget estimates. Tim has been doing a good job with recreation programming, so you do have some modest revenue increases from last year's budget proposal. Countryside TIF, we've talked about. Hopefully we'll have some exciting news in the next few months over more buildings in that property. But because of Lighthouse Academy and the commercial building that's actually going up right now, we're going to be right side up on that through fiscal year 26 at least. After that debt service goes up, I would still feel comfortable in saying that we probably shouldn't ever be upside down in that fund again, all things being equal. But the possible anchor tenant may require another TIF agreement at some point in the future. So we'll see how that goes. Downtown TIF, I talked about that a little bit. We're talking about it at EDC. We do have land acquisition targeted in there, an overlay district for code enforcement and aesthetics, wayfinding signs that we've talked about at EDC, and then the proposal for the second TIF district going forward. So the good news is on the second TIF district is that I threw out a number at the EDC meeting that it would probably be about $50,000 in consultant fees and legal costs to do the study to form the second TIF district. We actually have Kathy Orr, obviously, is a TIF expert, among many other expert things. So as part of her normal fees and within her budget, she had actually helped to draft the TIF plan last time, and she's done it for other towns. So that's fees that we would normally incur anyway, so we think we can house that within our legal services budget. And then we actually have a planner named Jason Engberg, came to us from TESCA, who's actually done the back-end technical work on several TIF plans in the private sector. So between Kathy and Jason, we think that we can actually do almost 100% of the TIF plan in-house. So we think that the legal fees may be $15,000 or $20,000, maybe $25,000 at the high end when we're all said and done. But that's significantly less than the $50,000 or even $75,000 that we might estimate if we had to do that fully outsourced. So that's it. 27 minutes and 30 seconds. But that's the last time you have to hear from me for the next several months. Unless if you're asking me questions, of course. The next meeting, I don't have a presentation planned. We haven't done one in years past. We will have a public hearing mandated by law. We've got it on the agenda tentatively for discussion if people have individual items they want to talk about. And then you've got three full meetings after that to debate, and they can be the budget can be approved in any one of them. So last year we actually did our presentation in March and the public hearing at the end of March, so we've lengthened the process again, so you've got two full ones for them to discuss it. So with that, full budget proposal bill on that website here. If anybody has any questions, emails are fine between the aldermen. We make sure that you get them in the packet, and really if residents have any questions too, that's what we're there for. Come up with something we're
happy
to answer. Thank you.
All right, nice job, Bart. Yes, if anyone has questions, email them to Bart. We've got several meetings to come to the budget. Do we have any additional business? Joel, did you say there's a birthday in the audience?
There is.
Whose birthday might that be?
I can't say. Terry, is it you? Golden birthday? 28 years ago? I guess we'll never know.
Yes. Okay. We do have an executive session this evening, so we will adjourn to executive session for the purchase or lease of real property and for litigation. After we come back from executive session, no action will be taken.